Well, let's pray. Lord, may you open your word to us as always. Speak to us now. And may you open our hearts to you. May we be receptive to your word. Do transform us. Do make us more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. When you look at a half-finished puzzle like this one, there are certain things that you can tell right away just by looking at it. And then there are other things you have to kind of guess at, right? Certainly when you look at this, you can tell there's a boat in the lower left-hand corner. You can emphatically say, yes, that's a boat. What kind of boat it is, you have to kind of guess. It's hard to tell. Is it a ferry? Is it a fishing trawler? Some other boat altogether? Hard to say. Obviously, you can tell there's a red building in the center of the puzzle. But again, because it's not finished, a little bit hard to tell. Is it a house, a barn, a boathouse? Hard to say. By the edges, you can tell a third of the puzzle is probably sky. But what does the horizon look like? Are there trees to interrupt the horizon, or is it just the ground and then the sky? Hard to say. Hard to say. Anytime we talk about Genesis, especially the first few verses, first few chapters, or for that matter, anytime we talk about prophecy, anytime we talk about the end of the days or the beginning of the days, I think it's a lot like this puzzle. There are things that we can be emphatic about, and then there's a lot of things that we're kind of filling in the blanks and guessing at, to be honest. So with that said, today as we consider, was the earth created in six literal days, literal 24-hour days, can we emphatically say, yes, it was? Or is that one of these things that we're kind of only guessing at? In my humble opinion, the answer is an emphatic yes. The earth was created in six literal days. But with that said, many very godly, well-informed Christians would disagree with me. I don't think it's one of these issues that we need to live and die by or split churches or fight about. But I personally think the scriptures are clear. Of course, those who disagree with me also think the scriptures are clear. So, in my opinion, yes, I think the scriptures definitely teach that the world was created in six literal 24-hour days, and let me show you why I think that. So, if you want to turn to Genesis 1, please do. I would submit to you that if you read Genesis 1 with no preconceived notions and take it at face value, you would conclude that God did indeed create the world in six literal 24-hour days. And most people throughout history, Jews or Christians, up until the last couple centuries when we became sophisticated, that's exactly how most people understood Genesis 1. They understood it as God creating the world in six literal 24-hour days. And then we become more sophisticated, and now many people doubt that this is a literal thing at all. Let's look at our text and look at what it says. And here I'm going to repeat myself because I think it's important to get the emphasis. So after day one, Genesis 1:5, it says there was evening and there was morning the first day. 1:8, there was evening and there was morning the second day. 1:13, there was evening and there was morning the third day. 1:19, there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. 1:23, there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. 1:31, there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Anytime things are repeated in the scripture, just like when we repeat things to our kids or to whoever, it's for emphasis. So notice there's a pattern here. There's a lot that's repeated. Now, some people doubt that these days are literal 24-hour days. They think of them as epochs instead, periods of time. So can we be sure that these are indeed literal 24-hour days? One indication is that each time it's listed, it says the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Whenever the word day is used in the scriptures, coupled with a number, first day, second day, third day. In every other instance, it's always a literal 24-hour day. Now, there are many places in the scripture where day is used figuratively. But when it's coupled with a number in every other instance, it's a 24-hour day. So we should suspect that in this case, since everywhere else it's a 24-hour day, we should suspect that it's a 24-hour day here as well. But I think it's even clearer than that. I think it's even clearer. Each day, as the day is closing, and it says God did this and then that, and then he says there was evening and there was morning the first day. There was night and then there was dark first day. Sounds like a 24-hour day to me. And of course, if you don't remember, the Jewish day started with the evening, with sunset, and went through until the next sunset. Evening, morning. It's a typical day. It's a typical day. And we see this every time. Once again, it's repeated. So to me, it seems like it's pretty clear. I can't see any textual evidence to take it any other way than that it's a 24-hour day. And if you're still not convinced, if you think these are periods of time, if these are epochs instead of literal 24-hour days, then I think you have to explain what the evening and the morning is in each one of those epochs of time. God clearly stresses this, that each day had an evening and a morning. If these are periods of time, what are the evenings, what are the mornings, and why does God stress them? If they're 24-hour days, which I think they are, then it's obvious why he says evening and morning, meaning the whole day. So, like I said, I can see no textual evidence no reason to take it other than a literal 24-hour days. I think the scripture is pretty clear. Now, bear with me. We're going to do a little bit of heavy lifting here. Let's look at why some people think we should not take it as literal 24-hour days. And I want to be fair to them. Obviously, in the short time we have, I'm not being fair to my side or to their side. So take what I say with that understanding. But why do some people doubt that these are not literal 24-hour days? Some people think all of Genesis 1 is an allegory. It's not history, they're saying. It's a spiritual truth that's conveyed. And we're supposed to draw out from it lessons spiritually, but we should never even think that it's a literal history. They point out, as we noticed last week, how it's poetical in nature. In Genesis 1, 1 through 12, during the first 3 days, God created something, then he separated this from that. And then in Genesis 13 through 31, the next 3 days, he filled the this and that. It's very poetical. And then as further proof, they state how, in their mind, there's a contradiction. In Genesis 1, 5, day 1, day and night are created. But it's not until day 4, Genesis 1:16, that the sun is created. They would say, how can you have a day and night if there's no sun? And then they would say, see, it's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant as an allegory, and we should just draw spiritual lessons from it. In response to what they say, I will readily concede it's poetical. Absolutely. So what? Just because it's poetical, does that mean it's not historically accurate? Just because Genesis 1 is poetical, does that mean that we should not take it literally? If you use the same logic, then when you look at this verse here, oops, I had it up here, this verse here, Exodus 15:21, God parted the Red Seas, as you know, and he drowned the whole horse and the rider. And then Miriam, the sister to Moses, she sang in Exodus 15:21, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Everyone concedes that this is a song, that this is a poem. And everyone concedes that it's historical. This is exactly what happened. Part of the Red Sea and the horse and rider were thrown into the sea, drowned by the sea. So just because something is poetical, that does not mean it's historically inaccurate. The form does not have a whole lot to say about whether it's true or not historically. As to their objection that there's an apparent contradiction, that the day and night were created when there was no sun, so how could that be? When they say this is a contradiction, I say, says who? Who says that you can't have a day or night with no sun? At the end of the age, we see exactly that. Revelation 22:5. Jesus has created the new heavens and the new earth. He's in the new Jerusalem. And it says night will be no more. Those who live in Jerusalem will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So here in this case, we have a city being lit up with no sun. They don't need a sun because God himself, Jesus himself, is their light. If this is going to happen at the end of the age, who's to say it didn't happen at the beginning of the age? So when they say to me there's a contradiction, again I said, says who? The burden of proof is on them, not me. I simply cannot accept that Genesis 1 is an allegory. I see no reason anywhere in the scriptures to suggest that it is. Now, this is the more common one. While many people will concede that this is indeed a historical account of how God created the world, Genesis 1, they'll concede it is historical, not an allegory, but they will say the day should not be taken literally, as I've already alluded to. They should be understood as epics. And usually this is because they believe that the world did indeed evolve. Life evolved and God used the evolution process to create man. I want to be fair to them, I do, but I don't think they base that on any textual evidence. I've never heard them really argue that this is the case from the Bible. I've heard them argue why Genesis 1 says this, but never any textual evidence to suggest that this is the case. They always seem to base it on the supposed age of the earth and then try to fit that into Genesis 1. So in my mind, it seems like they're basing this upon supposed science and not on the text itself. They're trying to fit the age of the earth into Genesis 1. If the earth is indeed billions of years old, as we are told every day, then I concede that we probably should interpret Genesis 1 figuratively, the days as periods of time. But I won't concede that the earth is billions of years old. Even when you look at the science, there's strong science to suggest that the earth is billions of years old and strong science to suggest it's quite young. I'm not going to argue the science. If you want to learn more about it, come tonight. That's precisely what Jay will be speaking on in the DVD tonight. I'm not going to argue the science. But again, I think there's science to support both sides. And that seems to be, though, what they base their arguments on. The half of science that supports the old earth, not on the text itself. And even if the earth does appear old, even if it does appear to be billions of years old, how do we know it wasn't created old? How do we know it wasn't created mature? When God created Adam, he didn't create a baby. He created an adult. Who's to say God didn't do the same thing with the earth, with the universe as a whole? Moreover, when they tell me that God used evolution to create life, and that's why there's these billions of years, and each day is an epoch, I think they have a theological problem. People who believe that the days are epics and that life evolved over time have to deal with verses like this. Romans 5:12, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Until Adam sinned, death had not come into the world. Death came through sin. Adam sinned, death came into the world because of Adam. And not just to Adam, but to the world as a whole. Adam was given dominion over the world, and so when Adam fell, the world fell as well. We now live in a fallen world, just like we are fallen human beings. And once death began to reign in man, it began to reign in the rest of the world as well. Death came through sin, and that death through one man. So when Adam fell, in other words, the world fell with him. And as soon as he fell, all living things began to die. But not before. Now, at least is how I understand scriptures, not before. So those who believe in evolution, I think, have to deal with verses like these. So once again, I come back to the fact that I believe in the six literal 24-hour days, just as Genesis 1 says. Again, is it a do-or-die doctrine? No, I don't think so. Is it something that we should argue long and hard about? No, I don't think so. But I do think it's important, because everywhere throughout our school systems, throughout most of secular society, the one side is always taught and the other side is discounted as nonsense. I don't think it is nonsense. I think it's the Word of God, and I think that's what the Word says. But let's slow down for a bit and catch our breath. God created the world in six literal 24-hour days and rested on the seventh. So what? Why is that significant? Some people, again, those who believe in evolution, think that there was no way that God could have created the world as it is in 6 days. Too short a time. To me, it's like, why did it take him so long? Why did it take him 6 days? But we know the answer to that. We know the answer to that. God created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh to set a pattern for you and me. He did it so that we would work 6 days and then worship and rest on the seventh. So if we look at Genesis 2:3, it says God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, set it apart. It's a unique day. Because on it, God rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. And then as he's entering into a covenant with his people Israel, he gives them this command, Exodus 28:11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Again, it's a day set apart, a day that's unique from the others. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For, why is this the case? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So think about this for just a minute. Did God, work for the 6 days and then kind of tired himself out? After he created the world in 6 days, did he go, that was a lot of work, and then he kind of plopped on his throne because he's all pooped out? Of course not. He rested on the seventh day for you and me. He did it for you and me. Think about that. God understood how tiresome life can be when all we do is work and work and work and work. And so he made sure that we had a break every 7 days. He rested so that we would rest every seventh day. Isn't that kind of cool? He could have created the world in 90 days and rested on the 100th day. And then we could work 99 days and finally have a break on the 100th day. How would you like that kind of week? Or I read the other day that, I think it was during the French Revolution, I may have my nation wrong, but I think it was during the French Revolution, they wanted to systematize everything, so they had every day, every month, 30 days, and then they had 10-day long weeks, three 10-day long weeks. How'd you like to work 9 days always and then only have 1 day when you could rest every 10 days? Take it to the extremes. What if God had worked 999 days and finally rested on the 1,000th day? And then we could work for 999 days and finally get a break on the 1,000th day? Some people think God is an ogre. He's not, far from it. Every seventh day, he wanted us to take a break and rest and worship and so on and so forth. It kind of reminds me when I was a youngster working with my dad cutting wood. We were serious about it. We did okay. We made good time. But every once in a while, Dad would sit down on a log and say he needed a rest. And then he'd say, "Bob, come take a break with me." I knew what he was doing. He didn't need a rest. My dad could work me into the ground. I worked hard, but nothing compared to him. He didn't need a rest. He wanted to make sure I had a rest. And so he took a rest so that I would take a rest with him. I think my dad and my Heavenly Father, I think they're awesome. I think that's really cool. I would humbly submit to you that God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days and then rested on the seventh. And this is what I think is profound. Even as he did so, he was what? Thinking about you and me. Thinking about you and me. They're going to need a rest, so I'll take a rest myself. 6 days they can work, but on the seventh, I'll set that apart as a holy day, a day of rest. I think it's awesome. I think it's wonderful. What a great God we have. Amen. Lord, you are indeed wonderful. Even as you're creating the world, you're doing it in such a way that you're setting a pattern for us. So even how you create the world, you were thinking about us as you were doing it. And Lord, how we love our day of rest, our weekend, how we love those when we are taking a break from our career, taking a break from our factory, taking a break from the school, whatever the case might be, how we love those weekends. We in our society are blessed because we have 2 days instead of 1 day every week. But Lord, how cool it is that you wanted to make sure that we would rest, that we'd break the routine. How cool is it that you set apart that day as holy and called us to come together as brothers and sisters and worship you. There have been times in my life when I've worked a lot of overtime and worked 20, 30 days straight without a break. Tires a person out. Tires a person out. What if, Lord, what if you had never given us a Sabbath day? What if you had called us to work every day of our life and never set apart a day as a holy day? How tiresome that would be. And then, Lord, I think about when we have a really bad week, one of those weeks when it just stinks and everything seems to go wrong. How cool it is when that week ends and then we get to start a new week. And often when we do, when we start that new week, things are better, our attitude's better, we're fresher. And the problems that seemed so big before just don't seem so big anymore. But what would it be like if the week never ended? And horrible just kept on going on and on and on. You and your wisdom knew what we needed, Lord. How we praise you. How we praise you. In your name. Amen.